This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to the Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
To start off the show, we've got Stephen A. Russell to do the movie reviews. So, welcome to the show, Stephen.
Happy New Year, Stephen.
Happy Hogmanay.
Oh, yes.
So good to be back, and I hope you all had a wonderful break.
Yeah, although you've got a friend in town, haven't you, from England, so you're running around.
I'm going to need another holiday,
I think. and I even bumped into you on the street yesterday.
In a bar. St Kilda on the street, mate, where we went.
Imagine that, bumping into somebody in the streets in St Kilda.
I know. I mean, that does make the time a lot more dubious than it had to. Anyway, moving on. Well, I thought we'd start off with a really beautiful film that's gone down really well, particularly with female audiences, and that is Greta Gerwig's take on Little Women.
Right. How many versions of this film has there been?
8,092.
Oh, okay.
I think is the official number. Okay. You might have to check that on IMDb. But, you know,
I can tell you not as many as Batman.
No, not quite. Which is a very good point. I guess the main ones that people would probably know is the 94 one by Australian Gillian Armstrong.
Yep.
Is that the one with Winona Ryder?
Yes, it was.
And that one didn't get all that good of reviews, though, did it?
No, I think
that
was
amazing. That one, though.
Oh, was it?
I mean, it's probably my personal favorite.
Oh, okay.
Well, sorry.
I love it. Yeah.
And then there's, I think people would know the 49 one by Mervyn LeRoy, kind of like known as the classic, the black and white one. But you look, Greta Gerwig is a really fascinating director. People might know
her. Is she? Yeah, go on.
Yeah, she sort of started off in the American, what's known as the mumblecore kind of indie, you know, indie comedies.
Very different.
Well, people might know her from Frances Ha. It was a pretty big breakout hit for a small independent film.
Right.
But she also got incredible acclaim and was Oscar nominated for Lady Bird, had Saoirse Ronan in it. Amazing Irish actress who was also in Brooklyn.
Yep.
And she also plays the eldest sister Jo in this version.
And is it her that's getting Oscar buzz? Is it her role or is it one of the others?
Look, it's one of those films. It'll be really interesting to see how it plays out. But ensembles that are this big always they kind of hamstring people when you've got that many. But look, Saoirse is probably the front runner. It'd be between her and Florence Pugh.
That's
from
right.
Fighting With My Family.
Yeah.
Who I think steals this version, actually.
Okay. But then, of course, there's a famous actress in it. Oh,
there's heaps. You've got the other two sisters are played by Harry Potter alumnus Emma Watson.
Yeah.
And then you've also got young Aussie Eliza Scanlon, who was in Sharp Objects with Amy Adams as the youngest sister. And then you've got Laura Dern as their mum. Mm. And you've got Meryl Streep. The imperious March.
Yeah.
Now, look, it's a film that's really beautifully done. If I was going to say anything, Greta Gerwig is such an interesting and quirky and unique filmmaker. And she's really shaking stuff up in the industry. At the risk of being howled down by the film's many million fans, I think it's a little disappointing that we've gone to a remake so early in her career. Putting that aside, it's beautifully done, great performances.
Yeah, but has it got an edge? You know, like, because it was one of those stories. Do you know, I've never seen it. I've never seen
it. David.
I know.
Shame on you.
I know.
You have a niece now, don't you?
I have many nieces.
Many nieces. Yeah. It's time to gather them round.
And go and see it. I thought, I've even read that it's a bit edgy. No, it's not.
Oh, look, it does make a few pointed statements. Like there's a part quite late on. I can't remember exactly who says it, but it's obviously, you know, Louisa May Alcott wrote this book about her life. You know, it's semi autobiographical, and there is a very pointed line about the everyday lives of women being inherently of interest, and it sort of, you know, suggests that these are the stories that have been suppressed over the decades, you know. And I think that's why particularly female audiences are really gravitating towards this
absolutely.
One,
you know? I totally get the whole premise of it.
And Saoirse in particular, you know, the whole point of the older sister Jo is that she doesn't want to get married. She's a writer, you know, she's obviously loosely based on the author. She wants to make her own way, and there's some pointed lines, like Meryl Streep's aunt tells her at some point, you know, she says, well, you're on your own, aunt, you've never married, and she's like, yeah, but I'm fabulously rich and you're not. So, you know, I've got a get out card.
And that's true in that era, wasn't it? You know, like my brilliant career was a classic example.
Absolutely,
of that,
and that's probably why, you know, Gillian Armstrong was really attracted to this. I think it's going to do really well. The Golden Globes are about to happen. We're about to kick
Has it got nominations there, has it?
Or? Well, yeah, the actual ceremony's tomorrow.
Has Little Women got nominations?
I'm not sure either. I should have opened that in front of me. I knew I was going to get asked on air about this.
I think it's really important to sort of just look at female directors and understand that, you know, I don't think we ask a lot of these questions of these remakes. I mean, I think broadly we are questioning whether remakes or, you know, prequels or sequels are, you know, its saturation point. But I think, like, especially she's a young director in terms of her career, but also that there comes a time in every director's career where they have to make a period film, you know, and they usually stick to something safe, which is like a well-loved novel or a recreation. So I feel like that's where she's gone somewhere safe, and I think that's probably more where you're landing with your criticism.
It's not a criticism of her and her brilliance in filmmaking. I just feel like she could have made a slightly more ambitious choice, even within an adaptation.
But having said that, I think it's a very shrewd and clever choice for a female director. I mean, I personally think you could make a Little Women for each generation and no one would complain.
And look, you make a very good point, because the very even as I'm saying that, I'm thinking, well, we don't say that about Shakespeare, do we? So why is it that a female written novel shouldn't have a different take each generation? So maybe I'm just going to retract that on. Thanks, Carla.
Yes.
but it is getting, four stars and five star reviews around the world.
I'm keen to see it. I'm going to go see it next week. So don't spoil it for me.
I haven't seen it or read the book. People are going to love it. It's going to do super well. I'm going to skip over very quickly over the next one.
Hold on. How many stars?
Oh, I'm giving it 3.5.
Jeez,
which is still a really good. That's not a bad score.
No, it's not bad.
That's like 70% or whatever. That's really good.
Hey, don't have to justify.
Anyway, there's plenty of five stars out there. It's not going to be hurt by me. Don't worry about it. There's a really great family movie for the kids out opening next week. Shaun the Sheep movie, Farmageddon. I thought this is...
What's Shaun the Sheep?
He's one of stop animation, you know, like the little...
Is it from Wallace and Gromit or is it
from the same universe as Wallace and
Gromit. So it's that guy, but he's not a part of Wallace and Gromit. He's another character.
He's just
character.
A little sheep that's kind of popped up in various TV series.
I don't have children in my life, so I don't know anything about this.
Basically, what it boils down to is an alien crashes to Earth, makes friends with the sheep. The whole thing's done rather than, you know, the computer graphics that we see nowadays.
It's claymation.
Nice. Oh, so clever.
So funny, like Monty Python funny, snorted the whole way, and it literally riffs off pretty much every single science fiction icon that's ever been made. You know, they come fast and furious. 2001, A Space Odyssey, Doctor Who, Ridley Scott's Alien, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
And it gets nominated for awards all the time as well.
I think it's impeccable, the work that they do. And look, there's one actually hilarious moment that I think is worth going to the film on its own, because I saw a repair shop that was called HG Wheels, and I just think that is a spectacularly dorky science fiction joke, and well worth, you know, 4 stars alone.
That's good. How many stars?
Four. I'm going to say it's a great one for families.
All right.
I'm going to go to that. I love watching children's movies.
It's gorgeous. It's sheer joy. I snort laughed almost for the entire
Excellent.
I have seen with little nephews and that on telly some of those films, and they're really funny.
They're really very fun.
All right, I'm in.
And then, quickly, because I know I'm running out of time, Mark, but we've got two films starring brilliant British actor George Mackay. Now, he is a kind of up-and-comer who was in Pride. People might remember that glorious queer film about the Welsh miners. He is in 1917.
Right, boy, are they promoting that.
My goodness, this is a spectacular cinematic event.
Is it? It's so sad, though. You know, those First World War films.
Yeah.
Because people just get slaughtered.
You're not going to go here for a jolly japes. Put it that way. It's essentially what it is, Carla. It is a Bond director, Sam Mendes. Has done what he's made it look like the entire film is one take.
Okay.
Wow.
In reality, it's actually
those things make me really anxious.
I know. So basically, it's almost first person, almost like you're on the shoulders of two soldiers
running through the trenches and stuff.
Jesus.
Yep. The other one is Dean Charles Chapman, who is Tommen from Game of Thrones, who's grown up. They basically have to get across no man's land through enemy territory. For whatever reason, I don't know why the radios aren't working, whatever. Anyway, they have to
back in the First World War, they had to, Gallipoli. Have you not seen Gallipoli? There's runners, and they're actually...
And look, trenches.
They've got to run the trenches to pass the word.
The note to basically, another battalion that's going to go into a trap.
Yep.
And so the whole film is sick-makingly tense and terrifying watching them try and make this impossible mission because one of their brothers is in the other company. So, there's even more imperative on them getting that message through.
Yeah.
Look, other than, the amazing cinematography by Roger Deakins, who got an Oscar for Blade Runner 2049, I predict he might be up for another one here. But more than that, the thing that made me tense from the get-go was the score by Thomas Newman.
Well, you see, I was going to ask you about that because mentioning Gallipoli, Peter Weir was always so good with his music. And the music from Gallipoli was just... magnificent.
Well, look, this guy, he has been nominated for 14 Oscars.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Since 95, Shawshank Redemption.
Yep.
I think it's high time he won one, and this is spectacular, is all I'm going to say. Do I have time to squish in one more very quickly? Australian film?
Yeah.
Okay, I saw this one at TIFF, and it was one of the absolute stunning highlights of my time in Toronto. True History of the Kelly Gang by Australian writer-director Justin Kurzel, who you might know from Snowtown and Macbeth.
Yep.
And it's based, adapted from the book by Peter Carey.
Yep.
Now, essentially what this is a kind of origin story for Ned Kelly that wants to untangle all of the toxic masculinity, hetero, whatever rubbish that is attached to that symbol and what it means to this country. And so I just find this an exhilaratingly kind of queering of what's often seen as our kind of core, mythology as Australians. And what it is, we've got George Mackay again in a spectacular role as the older Ned, sharing it with Australian Orlando Schwert as a young Ned.
Right.
And it sort of really looks at the colonial brutality, convicts, what all of this horror going on around the country means to men and how that seeps into them and whether or not that's a destiny he can't escape. Look, this is packed full of an insane cast. You've got Russell Crowe in a kind of rambunctious, crazy Falstaff kind of role. You've got Miss Fisher's murder mysteries essay, Essie Davis, as Ned's mum, fierce power behind the Kelly gang.
Wow, she's like my age.
Oh, she's spectacular. Nicholas Holt from Mad Max Fury Road. He's brilliant as a creepy, sexually ambiguous cop.
Yep.
George is such a slippery character in the Ned role. I mean, for a start, he doesn't even have the bushranger beard. Like, everything about it sort of...
Well, some of them couldn't grow it.
Well, he couldn't. I mean, apparently, Justin Kurzel did tell me in Toronto, hilariously, he found out 3 weeks before filming that George was incapable of a beard. So we just decided, right, we're not doing a fake beard, we're just going to roll with it. But look, this is a nightmarish, funny, sad... Like, it's just really everything, and it's so powerful.
And talking about Little Women, so many versions of it. How many versions?
Well, exactly.
Of Nick Kelly
exactly.
Has it been?
And I will, all I'll try and say for anyone is feels like, not another Ned Kelly movie. So did Justin Kurzel felt that, and he thought long and hard about doing this. And he's, I think they've successfully done something very different.
Excellent.
So that's
I can also say that there hasn't been very many good Ned Kelly movies.
No, exactly, Carla. I'm promising you this one is a good one.
Happy for them to keep trying until they get it right.
Yeah, right. Well, hopefully we'll come back to this one and see. Yeah.
Well, how many?
I'm giving that 4.5.
Whoa.
It's practically a masterpiece.
Holy dooly.
It's out in cinemas next week.
Yep.
And then on Stan for Australia Day.
Yeah. Okay, that old thing. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stephen, and lovely to have you back. And
so
we'll see
good
you
to be
in
back.
A couple of weeks.
Thanks, gang.
Bye.
Thanks, Stephen. You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.